Queensland, this is VK4WIA and the weekly Q News Amateur Radio News Service. The text edition is available by contacting Q News at wia.org.au.
Hi, it's Ray, VK4 Charlie Fox from the Redcliffe and Districts Radio Club Incorporated. Last week I provided you with some information about the Harry Angel Sprint, which is to be conducted on 80 metres on the 2nd of May this year. Graham, VK4 Baker Baker, emailed me and told me it was himself, Laurie, VK4 Sierra Kilo, and Brian, VK4 Bravo Bravo Sierra, who came up with the idea of the contest. Graham also mentioned about Anzac Day and its 100th celebration. Curious, I thought I should find out a little bit more about Harry Angel, VK4HA. To my surprise, information was quickly found, and with a little further research, I found a lot more about the man who L. Shawsmith said, "No nicer bloke has ever pressed a key or a mic switch." Harry Angel was born close to Fulham in the UK, December 14, 1891. He arrived in VK around 1912 from California after a trip around Cape Horn as a very young sailor. One of his jobs on board was to climb the vessel's 150-foot masts, often with seas up to 40 feet high. Harry enlisted in the 1st Battalion AIF for the outbreak of World War I, was on the first troop ship of the Australian soldiers to reach the Middle East. Harry's regimental number is 1094. The 1st Battalion AIF was one of the first Australian infantry units raised in New South Wales, being formed at Randwick in Sydney in August 1914. Within the first fortnight of the war. After a brief period of basic training, the 1st Battalion was among the first Australian troops to be deployed overseas, arriving in Egypt on the 2nd of December 1914. The battalion took part in the landing at Anzac Cove, coming ashore with the 2nd and 3rd waves on the 25th of April 1915. Following the initial battle for the heights overlooking the beachhead, in which the battalion took part in the action on a hill known as Baby 700, the Turks regained control of the heights and the battalion was forced to withdraw to Russell Top, then later to the southern flank near Garba Tepe. On the 27th of April, the battalion carried out a desperate bayonet charge for which one of the battalion's officers, Alfred Schout, received a military cross and was mentioned in dispatches. In August, the Allies went on the offensive in Gallipoli Peninsula, launching the August Offensive. As part of this offensive, the 1st Division was called on to launch a diversionary attack on Lone Pine. It was during this battle that the battalion took part in, arguably most notable engagement of the campaign. The attack began early on the 6th of August, and only after an hour, the Australians had captured the Turkish positions at Lone Pine. The Turks then counterattacked almost immediately, and for the course of the next 3 days, fighting continued, during which time two members of the battalion, Alfred Schout and Leonard Cursor, perform acts of valour for which they were later awarded the Victoria Cross. Now, I'll have more on the Harry Angel story next time, so stay tuned. Now, before I go, Roger, VK4ZLQ, wanted to advise all who might be interested in attending classes in theory with the intent of sitting in the assessment for the advanced licence that classes will be conducted on Wednesday nights from 1900 to 2100, commencing on the 4th of February 2015. Now, if you're interested, please contact Roger via the secretary at radioredcliffeclub.org.au. Now, the cost of the tuition is $45 for the course, and a CD will be issued with all notes relevant to the course. Okay, until next time, it's 7-3 from me, Ray, VK4, Charlie Fox, and the Redcliffe Club.
Across Queensland from VK4WIA, you're listening to Q News. In North Queensland, it can be heard on 7070 kHz following the WIA National News. I'm Felix, VK4FUQ.
Hello, I'm Jeff Emery, VK4ZPP, and I've been thinking. Language is the means in which we humans get our message across to each other. Language is a growing and diverse tool. And if one were a collector of dictionaries, they would be able to see the changes of meanings and the introduction of new words and phrases over a lifetime. Just as language is a growing, changing part of life, the rules of behaviour, good manners or etiquette, is a plastic part of life. terms of address and what is considered polite are vastly different to the world of 50 years ago. Tastes in popular music have changed, and words and expressions, which would have had someone standing before a magistrate 5 decades back, now come at us via broadcast media. With entertainment, we make the choice of our particular flavours, and people accept that is the right way. When we think about amateur radio, there are the official rules, the LCDs, as they're known, and there is the practice to be used within the rules. Now remember that listeners to our transmissions are looking for amateur radio, not broadcast entertainment. Whether you're looking for a contact or just monitoring, you are not choosing to be affronted by the material you encounter. If we adhere to the golden rule, the amateur's code, and respect and consideration for others, we will be meeting our license conditions and continuing the long tradition of our hobby. Language and behaviour, two important parts of amateur radio. I'm Jeff Emery, and that's what I think. How about you?
From Queensland, this has been VK4WIA and the weekly Q News Amateur Radio News Service. We thank our rebroadcast team and you for listening. And remember, internet text of this news is available by dropping a note to Q News at wia.org.au.